The following material is brought to you by Riverside Baptist Church in Riverside, California, where clarity, eternity, and charity are our motto. We invite you to join our services at Riverside Baptist. For more information, please visit our website at www.rbcsocal.com.
Charles Spurgeon, in his lectures to my students, he told of a young man who desired to go to India as a missionary with the London Missionary Society. Mr. Wilkes was appointed to consider the young man's fitness for such a post. He wrote to the young man and told him to call on him at 6 o'clock in the next morning. Although the applicant lived many miles off, he was at the house punctually at 6 o'clock in the morning, and he was ushered into the drawing room. He waited and waited and waited, wonderingly but patiently. And finally, Mr. Wilkes entered the room about mid-morning. Without apology, Mr. Wilkes began, "Well, young man, so you want to be a missionary, huh?" "Yes, sir, I do." "Do you love the Lord Jesus Christ?" "Yes, sir, I certainly do." "And have you any education?" "Yes, sir, a little." "Well, now, we'll try you. Can you spell cat?" Mr. Wilkes gave his report at the committee meeting. He said, "I cordially recommend that young man. His testimony and character I have duly examined. I tried his self-denial. He was up in the morning early. I tried his patience by keeping him waiting. I tried his humility and temper by insulting his intelligence. He will do just fine."
And we will do just fine if we put on long-suffering, meekness, humbleness of mind, kindness, and compassion. Hello, my name is Mark, and I'm your host for our commuter CD from Riverside Baptist Church in beautiful Southern California. This is the second part of putting off the old man and putting on the new man. Listen now as Pastor Christian reads Colossians 3:10-15.
"And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful." That is the word of the Lord. May he bless it in our hearing this evening. You may be seated. As I have said this morning, there are two parts to your duty of mortification. There's the negative approach, and then there is the positive approach to our flesh. The negative approach is not necessarily bad. It is called a negative approach in the fact that we put off some things. And tonight, we talk about the positive approach to our flesh. We looked at the first part of our duty this morning, that is to put off fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence. And these are put off, these are put to death when we deal with a great blow to the root, which is what, class? Greed, covetousness, which is idolatry. We also looked at putting off the social sins. We mentioned the sexual sins. We also mentioned the social sins of wrath, malice, blasphemy, and filthy communication. By means of first killing the root of these, and that is taking care of the festering, churning inside a person his or her anger. So tonight, the second part of our duty of mortification is the positive approach, which is to, you guessed it, what is the second approach, the positive approach? To put off, now to put on. Good, you're listening. This principle is given to us. And the verses here, verses 10 and 12, which is our focus this evening. Let's look at that again, verse number 10. And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge, after the image of him that created him. And then look at verse 12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have any quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. So what are we to put on? Number one, bowels of mercies. I have to put that on? What is that anyway? What is bowels of mercies? This phrase comes from splagsina oiktirmu, which means compassion from the inward parts. That's why we have the word here, bowels. It is compassion from the inward parts. By the way, the bowels, the inward parts, especially the locale of the belly, has been used as a metaphor for people's seat of deep emotions. Today, we call that the what? The heart. In the Old Testament, they called it the reins, the kidneys, the bowels. This is the seat of deep emotions. So let there be that motivating emotion of pity, compassion, that mercy. Let it show up in your resurrection life. Number two, what do we put on? We put on what? Kindness. This comes from Christoteta, which means goodness, kindness, and generosity, either of man or God towards men. During the latter part of his life, President James Madison, who lived to be 85 years old, suffered from a variety of physical problems. And as a result, he was constantly trying different medicines and potential cures. It is said that an old friend who lived nearby sent Madison a box of vegetable pills, which he had made himself, and asked Madison to let him know how they worked. You know, you have friends like that when you have trouble, and they go into trouble of putting together some stuff for you that might help you, right? Sometimes it works, sometimes they don't. But what did Madison do about this? Some days went by. He received one of Madison's famous, carefully worded letters. And it went something like this. My dear friend, I thank you very much for the box of pills. I have taken them all. And while I cannot say I am better since taking them, it is quite possible that I might have been worse if I had not taken them. What kind words? What kind words President Madison gave to this man? While we should always tell the truth, there is not an excuse to be cruel or to be unkind. And the Bible says, He hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly and to love kindness, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. The third thing that we need to put on is what, class? Humbleness of mind. This phrase comes from taphainophrosune, which means simply humility. Humility. The word humility is generally, this word, this long word in the Greek, the word is generally used in a positive sense, as it is here to describe, get this, a quality of voluntary submission and unselfishness, humility, self-effacement. This phrase is the positive opposite to what the Apostle Paul applied towards the false prophet, towards the false teacher. If you remember, he said to or of whom, of this teacher, this false teacher, that he was in a voluntary humility, that is false humility. It is obvious now that his first use of that word, taphainophrosune, is applied as to the false teacher as a pejorative one. But here we see in this verse a real possibility to be humble done by the life that has been resurrected by Christ, that has been resurrected with Christ. Number four, what do we have here? What is that? Meekness comes from praoteta, which means having a gentle attitude, which bears up under offense with patient submission, with patient submissiveness, and without a move towards revenge. Did you get that out of one word? Yes. Well, the biblical scholar did, but this is what it means to be meek. To be meek is to have a gentle attitude which bears up under offenses with patient submissiveness and without a move towards revenge. Wow. This is what we need to put on. Meekness. The Apostle Paul, in another place, used this word to describe the attitude of one who would confront the sinning brother or sister. In Galatians 6:1, it says, "As brethren, if a man be overtaken in fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted." By the way, some people think that meekness is weakness. Is that true? No. Meekness is actually power. It is a power that is under control. It is strength that is under control. And the Bible illustrates Moses as a very meek man. Moses was a very meek man. He wasn't a weak man. I mean, yet we know that he commanded around 2 million people in there, which presses him down, and yet be able to maintain a meekness attitude without the hint of giving revenge towards the individuals? 2 million people! What a meek man. Numbers tell us, now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. Not only should we put on meekness and humbleness of mind, we also need to put on, number five, what? Long-suffering. Oh, this gets better. This gets better. It comes from makrothumian, which means human patience or God's patience. John Kitchen commentary says, the word generally refers to a long-suffering endurance in the face of indignities and injuries by others. Charles Spurgeon, in his lectures to my students, he told of a young man who desired to go to India as a missionary with the London Missionary Society. Mr. Wilkes was appointed to consider the young man's fitness for such a post. He wrote to the young man and told him to call on him at 6 o'clock in the next morning. Although the applicant lived many miles off, he was at the house punctually at 6 o'clock in the morning, and he was ushered into the drawing room. He waited and waited and waited, wonderingly but patiently. And finally, Mr. Wilkes entered the room about mid-morning. Without apology, Mr. Wilkes began, "Well, young man, so you want to be a missionary, huh?" "Yes, sir, I do." "Do you love the Lord Jesus Christ?" "Yes, sir, I certainly do." "And have you any education?" "Yes, sir, a little." "Well, now, we'll try you. Can you spell cat?" The young man looked confused and hardly knew how to answer so preposterous a question. His mind evidently halted between indignation and submission, but in a moment he replied steadily, "C-A-T, cat." "Very good," said Mr. Wilkes. "Now, can you spell dog?" The youthful Job was stunned, but replied, "D-O-G, dog." "Well, that is right. I see you will do in your spelling. And now for your arithmetic. How much is 2 times 2? The patient young man gave the right reply and then was dismissed. Mr. Wilkes gave his report at the committee meeting. He said, "I cordially recommend that young man. His testimony and character I have duly examined. I tried his self-denial. He was up in the morning early. I tried his patience by keeping him waiting. I tried his humility and temper by insulting his intelligence. He will do just fine." And you and I will do just fine, ladies and gentlemen, if you put on long-suffering, meekness, humbleness of mind, kindness, and bowels of mercies. I know we don't use that every day, but that is what? What is bowels of mercies? That's a heart of compassion. A heart of compassion. Next, what do we have? Number 6. What do we have? Forbearing one another. Oh, this gets so much better. This gets so much better. It's from anixomenoi allelon, which means to put up with difficult people or circumstances. I told you it was going to get better. Forbearing one another. Woo! Ooh. By the way, this is in the present tense, which means for us to do now, currently, and constantly. And then we have a second attitude annexed here by the word. Let's look at verse number 13. Look at verse 13. Forbearing one another, and then what? Forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. So this brings us to number seven. The number seven item of clothing which we should put on is what? Forgiving one another. This come from charizomenoi, which means to give freely or graciously as a favor, and then by extension to forgive or pardon. Now, folks, listen. These two here, forbearing one another and forgiving one another, are essential, very essential ingredient in our church life. If our church and ministry here at Riverside Baptist Church were to continue, these are necessary in our relationships on a horizontal level. Otherwise, our relationship on a vertical level will not be so good. What do I mean by that? Pastor Christian, what do you mean by that? That these two virtues here, forbearing one another and forgiving one another, are essential ingredients for the horizontal relationships. What is the horizontal relationships that we have? It is me to you, to your neighbor, the horizontal relationships. And if we don't have this taken care of on this plane, it will not be so good on this plane, on this direction. Well, can you show me? I'm glad you asked. Well, notice the reason here. The reason why we ought to put on these things. Verse number 13, we read that already. And what is the reason that the Apostle Paul is giving? Yes, if any man have a quarrel against any, and the reason for that is even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Did he give any other reason other than this? No. This is the only reason why we should forgive one another. In fact, Jesus Christ himself said these words. I want you to turn to Matthew 6:14. And for some of you, you probably already know this, but I want us to be looking at the words of Christ in which we should immerse ourselves. Matthew chapter 6, verse 14. Well, the context here is that the apostles ask Jesus if Christ would teach them how to pray, and so he did. And he taught them how to pray. And when Jesus said amen, he continues his remarks in verse number 14. He says what? For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Let me ask you something. Who gets into trouble? The person who offended you and asking for forgiveness, or you who won't forgive? You who will not forgive. If you will not forgive, God will not forgive you. Can we get any clearer than this, Apostle Paul? Can we get any clearer than this, Lord Jesus? These are their words, inspired by the Holy Spirit of God. During the Revolutionary War, there lived in Pennsylvania a pastor by the name of Peter Miller. Although Miller was greatly loved by everyone in the community, there was one man who lived near his church who hated him and had earned an unenviable reputation for his abuse of the minister. in one account, there was this guy spitting on the minister because he got offended at one of his sermons. The man was not only a hater of the church, a hater of Pastor Miller, but it also turned out that he was a traitor to his country and was convicted of treason and sentenced to death. The trial was conducted in Philadelphia, and no sooner did Pastor Miller hear of it than he set out on foot to visit General George Washington and interceded for the man's life. But Washington told him, you know what Washington told him? He said, "I'm sorry, I cannot grant your request for your friend." To which he replied, "Friend? He is my worst enemy in the world. This man has caused me all kinds of trouble." To which the general replied and said, "What? Have you walked 60 miles to save the life of an enemy? That, in my judgment, puts the matter in a different light. I will grant him a pardon for your sake." The pardon was made, it was signed out, it was made out and signed by General George Washington, and Pastor Miller proceeded at once on foot to a place 15 miles away where the execution was scheduled to take place that very afternoon. He arrived just as the man was being carried to the scaffold, and when he saw Miller, Pastor Miller, hurrying toward the place, this man remarked, "There's old Peter Miller. He has walked all the way from Ephrata to have his revenge gratified today by seeing me hung." But scarcely had he spoken the words when Pastor Miller pushed his way through to the condemned man and handed him the pardon which General George Washington signed, and that pardon saved his life. Ladies and gentlemen, forgiveness is essential in maintaining a life and ministry that would be glorifying to God. Somebody said this: forbearance and forgiveness are the proving grounds of faith, end quote. What is the converse of that? What is the converse of that? If you do not forbear, if you do not forgive, then there is really no proof of your faith in Christ. Can I get an amen? There's really no proof of the resurrection life which you were supposed to have. That is the essence of that. Now we go to the last one, the last item to put on. It's kind of like, you know, putting your suit on, and then you have everything but the tie, right? I mean, it's not complete without the tie, right? So you have to put on the tie. For the ladies, I don't know what it is for the ladies, but you stand in front of the mirror and you're like, man, this dress is not complete without a belt or something like that. Or this outfit is not complete without a brooch or something like that. This outfit is not complete without my necklace or something like that. This is the last piece of clothing that we need to put on. And what is that? In verse number 14, what does it say? Colossians 3:14. What is it? "And above all these things," he even says this here. This is it, guys. "Above all these things, put on charity," which is the bond of perfectness. Perfectness. What is charity? Well, it comes from the words tain, agapain, which means the virtue of love. What is the apostle's view here? It is the love above all loves. It is the love above all loves. The love extended to us by God through the incarnate Christ and now extended through us to others by the indwelling Christ in us. I will never forget reading C.S. Lewis's Four Loves years ago now, and I got so excited to learn about the four different kinds of love. We have storge, phileo, eros, and agape. Storge is the love of a mother to a child, a love of a father to a child. You have phileo, the love of a friend to a friend. And then you have eros, erotic love, which is actually positive more than it is negative. It is the love of a husband and a wife. And then above all that is the love called agape, the love of God. This is what the Apostle Paul is meaning. This is the love above all loves. All of the three loves have their respective places in life, but the love which is one that is above all loves is the very one which caused God, listen to this, to send His only begotten Son in that while we were yet both unloving and unlovable, Christ did what? He died for us. He died on the cruel cross so that all who would believe in Him should not perish, but should have everlasting life. Why? Because the love of Christ caused Him to put your sin and mine on His body. Christ became my substitute in absorbing the wrath of God, which was rightly supposed to be poured on me. It is the love of God which caused His Son to die, be buried, and risen again to save me. It is then only appropriate and only reasonable that we should put on this charity, put on this love, the tain, agapein, as a proof of our resurrection life with Christ. Your duty of mortification comes in two parts. Put off the vices of a vile life, and then put on the virtues of a resurrection life. Is this convicting to you? Don't wait. Don't wait to do business with the Lord and ask Him. Tell Him all about it. He is big enough to take on all of your complaints, all of your words, all of your thoughts about His Word. Confess to Him. Oh, agree with Him that you are wrong. He is right, and that you and I must put on these kinds of garments, these kinds of clothing on us. Charity, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another.
Are you putting on charity, which is the proof of the resurrected life? Are you putting on mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering? Do you forbear one another? Do you forgive as Christ forgave you? My friends, this is convicting to me also. Let's go to God now and seriously do business with Him. My name is Mark, and I thank you for listening to our commuter CD. For more information, please call our church office at 951-687-6106 or visit our website at rbcsocal.com. I hope to see you again next time on our commuter CD from Riverside Baptist Church in Southern California.